You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad you don't go to a dead church? Go to a place where Jesus moves, the Holy Ghost moves with cowboys like this. Praise the Lord. Thank y'all. Praise God. Healing always comes. Deliverance always comes. You're asking, he's listening. He does it. Praise the Lord. Well, we've had a marvelous weekend. I know, where's Paige? Where is she? Okay, she had a real successful meeting this weekend. And why are y'all in the wrong seats? This is... and then we had a meeting in Kerrville, and that just went so well. There, six of us went, and tonight we're going back, and I get to preach tonight. So it's going to be good. So it's going to be a blessing over there. But we're going to have a good time this morning. Go to Psalm 115, 9. Psalm 115, 9, and Quinny will put it up on the screen here too. God is good. Well, we welcome the visitors this morning. Be blessed. Thank you for coming. We welcome the family this morning. Glory to God. Father, we pray for Alan and his family this morning. We thank you for them. Father, we thank you for Enda's abundant entrance. There's nothing like being with Jesus. And that's where she is. And so we thank you for comfort and blessing for the family, and we thank you, Lord, for the church family that surrounds him this morning. We ask you to bless that church family this morning. And Father, we believe for Alan's total comfort and the total processing of pain, the way to get through what is going on in Jesus' name. He metabolizes that and moves forward in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all comfort in Jesus' name. Are you there? Praise the Lord. All right. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Got it? That's us too. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. So that's us. We don't fear. We worship. We reverence God. We're not afraid. But that's the word the King James uses. Okay. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless the house of victory. He will bless them that worship him, both small and great. So even right now, little Elijah, who's still inside mom there, is blessing the Lord today. Small. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So, it's very easy to see in the scriptures that the Lord wants to increase you. He has his mind on you. That's what it said. It said he's mindful of you. So he wants to increase you in every area of your life. He wants you blessed and your children. He wants your children blessed. Amen. And so you saw there it said more and more. Well, why did they bother with that? Why did they put more and more? Because it's constant and continual. It's constant and continued. The Lord is blessing all the time, all the time, all the time. You just got to get under the waterfall. You just got to get in the river. You just got to get in the blessing with him. And if you get in that stream and get out of the old negative stream, whatever that may be, and could go many ways. But the blessing does belong to you. He put the blessing on Adam. He put it back on Noah. And then he gave it to Abraham. We are Abraham's seed. So the curse has been removed. And the blessing is on us. And so the blessing is the empowerment to prosper. It's to do well in every area. Yes, financial, but every area. Prosperity is the ability to take the ability of God and bless mankind. So however that happens, you get it in every area, including finances. And then it said you and your children, which means that's hereditary. It's hereditary. So now just like increase is hereditary, lack could be. Come on. So there are spiritual forces that'll try to stop your prosperity. Y'all know that. The devil wants you to believe you need to remain. Some people teach, actually some churches want you to be in lack. I don't understand that, because then they ask for money. You know, we get a bad rap. We're the new thought now. They have a new name for us now. I don't know if you know that. It's religion does. They don't like that, but God likes it. He wants you blessed.
He does.
He wants your children blessed. Right. We are His children, church.
Yes.
He's not slapping us around. He's not an abusive father. My daddy supplied everything we needed. He went to work every day. He brought home the money. We slept in good beds, had good clothes, had good food, had everything we needed. Well, don't you know your heavenly father's even better than that? Amen. God is a good God. So He wants to bless you. And it's constant and it's continual all the time. So you sow, He brings the harvest. You tithe, and you enter into financial protection. That's what tithing is. It's aligning yourself with the kingdom finances so that you always have financial protection. It's like living in Goshen. They lived in Goshen. The curse wasn't there. Everything was happening over in Egypt, but in Goshen, nothing happened because they were God's people living under the covenant. They were living in the blessing. And so the choice is yours. You can either choose life, you can sow a seed, you can give, you can tithe. But I just want to tell you this. This is the time in life for miracles. We are in the Great Awakening. This is advancement time. This is not famine time. This is a time to run and get it right now. If I'll tell you the truth, God will give you witty inventions and ideas and thoughts and clients and processes and new businesses and whatever it is that you need so that you can prosper. He'll also give you the wisdom not to be foolish about it. And then you won't get into the love of money.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You'll just use it like a tool, which we always say.
Yeah.
It's a tool.
Yeah.
It can go either way. Praise the Lord. The motivation for accumulation is
distribution.
We're able to give. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take aim at the spirits of lack, poverty, debt, the lie of so-called bad luck, ignorance, and any other force that would try to stop our increase in our inheritance. You are knocked out in Jesus' name. And we receive what is rightfully ours, and Lord, we thank You for it. I will be blessed so I could be a blessing, and if you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go, brothers. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. If you would like to give via text message, you can text VCHL in the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. Praise the Lord. You can also go online. There's a give button on our webpage if you would like to give there. In Jesus' name, when we bless you for it. Thank You, Jesus. Hector, I don't know what you're doing back there, but you need to come up here for just a minute. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Are you blessed by Pastor Hector?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You're at the top of my list, says the Lord. You're at the top of my list for promotion. Promotion spiritually. Promotion financially, promotion influentially. And so there's an anointing coming now for purpose and plan. There's a fresh anointing. You are ordained in Jesus' name. Thank You for it, Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Give Jesus a hand clap. That's good. All right. You got to do God's business. Always do God's business. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
You could be sitting in somewhere where we just do this and you go out of there going, we had a sermon about coffee beans, you know. We're going to do God stuff.
Yes.
We're going to grow. Yes. I was listening to Keith Moore this morning and he said, what are pastors for? They're to grow up the church. They're not just to come up with a clever little sermon for itchy ears. They're to grow up the church.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to Jeremiah 30:19, and I'm going to say some things to you while you're on your way. One of the top prophetic words that you've heard this year is come alive in 25. Have you heard that? You've heard that from the top prophet in the nation, I assume. And, of course, we take that by faith. But you could totally miss out on coming alive. You're going to Jeremiah 30:19. You could totally miss out on it if you don't participate. You have to participate in what God is going. That's why we meet together. Because when you assemble together, you don't forsake yourself. You have the help of the family. You have the cross-pollination going on here, you know. We're working on things together, okay? So, you know, God has a certain path. He has a certain path for us corporately and then for you individually, for me individually. And so, you know, we always want to reach our goals. And in January, everybody's preaching on goals and visions and such and laying out plans. But the Lord kind of backed me up this time and said, get them outfitted for the season. Because we're not really just going for a year. We're going for about 12 years. And particularly the next 4 years. Now, the prophetic word came all the way to 2029 on New Year's Eve that I heard. And so that's good. And I believe it'll go further. The last time I heard somebody do that was Brother Hagin, who went out. Who went out long. He went to heaven after that. This person is not going to heaven yet. Put my foot down on that. But so it went out some years knowing that we're kind, it's a season. And of course we know we're in a season. We know we're in the last days. We're not ignorant. We understand. You can count the God calendar and understand that we're in the end of days. Whether it be 50 years or 100 years is still the end of days compared to eternity. Or if it's 10 years or 12 years or 25 years, we're still there. And so we have to be dressed for the next years. At least on my part, I feel like about the next 12 years. And so we'll start here with the word for this year, what God said. Jeremiah 30:19. Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry, and I will multiply them and they shall not diminish. Okay. Let's talk about victory. I will also glorify them. That means there's more glory coming, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as before, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I'll punish all who oppress them. So just take that, devil. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Now, you know what we could say right here? We could just say this. I'm just going to really be thankful, and I'm going to, that this is going to happen. But, you know, what we really need to do is start where we are, but then have more. So we're grateful that we have this word, right? We're grateful that we got the word, but now let's press into what goes on with this word, okay? So God's talking about Israel here, and he's talking about that they've been through some hard times. It actually speaks of pain. They had no peace. There was fear. There were wounds. And he even made the statement, your affliction is incurable. Your wound is severe. That's verse 13. It says, there is no one to plead your cause that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines. All of your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. But then God comes in and he says, I'm going to show you some mercy. You're going to go all the way back up. I'm going to do good for you. You're going to go all the... God is a merciful God. He's a merciful God. So verse 16 says, therefore, all who devour you shall be devoured. I like that. And all your adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity. I really like that. Binding up the tares. Amen. Those who plunder you shall become plunder. Now remember, we love all people. Y'all know what I mean. And all who prey upon you, I will make a prey. So every demon spirit using people is going to be bound up. And we're believing God for it. And you're going to have to use your mouth to have that done. Amen. Okay. So, I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast. This is Zion. No one seeks her. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring back captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwellings. The city shall be built upon its own mound, and the palace shall remain according to its own plan. Okay, so he's going to do all this good stuff. Now I took that. The Lord showed me that. So I'm standing on that word because I'm a person who believes that God is talking to me through the scriptures. I believe that prophetic words these were set up for Israel, but they're also speaking to us because we are the spiritual Zion. Amen. And so I believe that this is where we are. We've kind of been, as a nation, we were kind of oppressed, not kind of, we've been oppressed, but we're coming out now. And the good news is while we were oppressed, we woke up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, so if this is true, then there's a reason to be thankful. So we can start thanking God for this, right? Because it's so important. It's said over there in verse 19, then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. So I want to say that to you again. You don't just have to have in your thinking, okay, if I'll just be thankful and grateful and I'll start saying grateful things, then God will. He's actually given you a reason. I'm going to do these things. So you have something to put your faith in besides just the thankfulness. Okay. He's telling you this, and being thankful period is good, but this is even better. So, we said Wednesday night that gratitude is going to be a huge part of this year. And so, I mean, we're going to have some gratitude going. Amen. We're going to be grateful. We're already a loving bunch. We're a loving church. We have some gratitude going. We have some testimonies going. So you better think about what good God has done to you, because we're going to get a mic out here pretty soon. You're going to start telling about it. All right. So, yes, by faith, we are glorified. Yes, by faith, we have this. And then we get glorified. We multiply because he said he would. Just want to repeat that again. Now, here's the deal. I said all that because I don't want you to live in duty all the time. I need you to live from God because of God, not for God.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good.
Because you're not earning. You're if you're a born again Christian, you're in the family. You don't earn his love. He loves you. He's giving you who he is. You're an heir. Amen. So it would be better. And I said this earlier, we're not living in what would Jesus do. We're living in what is Jesus doing. Okay. And so it's better. That's okay for some people, I guess, but I'm going on. So you can't just do this out of a command. I mean, we should follow the commands. I'm all about that. But it comes from a place of the nature of your Father being in you. I was talking to Mac and Ronnie, and I forgot to put my mic on, so I ran back there and I was putting my mic on and I looked in the mirror and I could just see my mother staring back at me.
Oh.
And I said to the mirror, you look like your mother. And so I have her DNA, and I do look like her. If I had brown hair, I'd look a lot like her. And so, yeah. And so I do act like her sometimes, and I do act like my father sometimes, but we can act like our father.
Amen.
We can act like Jesus, but not because we're trying to, but because he's living through us. Our parents are living through us right now. Amen. Can you look at Irie and tell who her mother is? Can you look at Avery and tell who her mother is? You girls are so blessed. Look at your mama. She pretty. All right. Now, all right, focus. Okay. So here's what we said. We want to live a joy-fueled, spirit-led life. Joy-fueled. And so I'm going to give you some things that I feel like will help you ride out these years in joy.
Amen.
Amen. So I want you to just keep that in mind. Now, here's something that we know. If you want to put up Romans 12:2, everybody knows this. Well, I just want you to remember this as we're going. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? You know that? That you may prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. There it is right there. So we know that renewing your mind really matters. Because you can really get off on a trail real quick if you take the devil's thoughts. And that is his one job. His one job is deception. The Bible says it's called the wiles of the devil. The word wiles is the word methodos. It's his method. It means with a road. The way he gets in. The way the enemy gets in is by deception. He gives you a thought, you take it and you say it, and he's in. Because you have to say it out loud before it's empowered. So he's going to roll it and roll it and roll it and roll it until you end up going and saying, you know what, Patty, I'm going to, or something, right? Because he has no power outside of humans. No, he doesn't. He doesn't have any power. Hey, if he had power to take you out, you'd be out. But he doesn't have that power. You would have to give him the power. And we're not giving him the power. Okay, that's another subject. We're going to have to go on. Now, I want to look at some things here that will help you. God created us as relational beings in his own image. Am I right? Okay, so within the Trinity, I like to think about the Trinity, the triune God. There's relationship. And love is the currency. Love is the currency. And so we thrive in life by interacting with God and with people. That's how we thrive. People that are recluses don't thrive. You have to interact with people, particularly God's people. And I know sometimes you question that because it can be difficult, but we can. And we can practice love together. Now, so God tells us over and over in the Bible that he's with us. He's always telling us, I'm with you. I'll be with you. He says it all the time. He's always wanted to be with us. That's why he made what he made and put them in the garden. He wanted to be with man.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He wanted to interact with us. So I would just say that abiding in Christ is a good way to live, would you?
Yes.
It's a good way to live. And then we strengthen the relationship by interacting with him. We praise him, we worship him, we pray, but we just talk to him. We just have conversations with him. We check in with him and we listen to him.
Yes.
Amen. So one thing, and you know, this has come up recently, so maybe I'm helping somebody, but this right here is not just reading about God. Listening to him through the word in our spirits is what we're looking for. This word needs to come alive.
Yes.
That's really what preaching does, if you want to know.
Yeah.
All right, if people preach the Bible. Now, so with loving people, though, we see how about loving God. Now, with loving people, we also strengthen our relationships by interaction. So having said everything I said, I just want to suggest this to you, interactive gratitude. interactive gratitude. So with God, it would be thank you, but also listening for a response, maybe journaling. Not maybe, you should journal. Write down what you're thankful for and listen to what maybe God would be saying back to you, because he is talking. But I want to tell you what he's saying back to you. I see you. I care for you. I hear you. I understand how big of a deal this is to you. I'm glad to be with you. I can do something about this with you or for you. God can do something about it. That hit somebody right there. Oh, yeah, he can do something about it. He can do something about it. Well, then with marriage, share interactive gratitude to strengthen your bond and deepen your sense of being known by one another. You would do that. See each other through God's eyes. Find good things about each other. And then with family, share your gratitude for what others have done for you. Like you might say, hey, thank you, brother, for playing soccer with me today. Or thank you, Dad, for taking me to the soccer field. Or thanks for doing this for us. Thank you for taking us out. You know, you begin to get thankful for it. And of course, there's always the thought of, well, we don't really need to be thanking Mom and Dad for feeding us because it's what they do. But it doesn't hurt to be grateful. It doesn't hurt to say thank you. I can remember in San Marcos, there's a place called Sewell Park, and it's the river flows right there. And of course, that's where I learned to swim. I was also baptized in that river in February, 8 months pregnant, and it was cold. But roll forward actually. I don't know if y'all went through this, but in our town, San Marcos, skating outside became popular on the sidewalks and stuff. So I had this friend named Deb Field and some others, and we decided we're going to go skating. So we went skating down to the park, and we're skating around out there and everything. And there's stuff laying out there, so we had a broom. So I swept off the deal. And when I didn't know Deb Field very well then, but when I finished, she looked at me and said, thank you for doing that. Nobody else said anything. And I went, I don't know if I've been around grateful people that much. That changed my life right there. It was one of the first things I ever learned about my friend Deb Field. And so she was grateful and always has been. And it just trained us up in a way. From there on, we got trained up in a way. And even to this very day, Pastor Danny and John can witness to this. When they leave work, every day, both of us tell them thank you. Am I right, John? Yeah. Every day. And they both say you're welcome. Every day. And they can say, well, you don't have to thank us. It's what we do. No. Gratitude. Being blessed. Does that help somebody? Yes. So you're grateful and you're like, this is such a little thing. It's not a little thing. Okay. Well, let me show you some things why all of this is so important. How many of you have ever been frustrated by a dropped call? Mm-hmm. So we're going to get, you know, there's this place on 1431. All right. By the storage, by Howdy's. Yes. And so you tell whoever you're talking to, hey, I'm about to go around this corner. Am I right? And so if I go around here, try to hang on, and I'll call you back. Every one of us say that to each other. We're going by Howdy's. So hold on. But can you get up the hill and get a little ways? When you're coming in, then you all of a sudden they're talking again. I can't tell you how many times I've missed about that much of Toby's conversation. And then I just wait. Yeah, okay. Actually, I'm not doing this. My car talks to me. Okay, so the drop call is really something, you know. Well, sometimes we experience drop calls with God and each other. When calls are dropped, trust declines. When calls are dropped, trust declines. Distrust becomes a roadblock. Walk with me. We end up feeling abandoned. Remember now, God created us to be relational beings, right? So when we're dealing with pain, The last thing we need is to be abandoned in our pain. Listen, any life experience that leads us to feeling alone, without help, can be experienced traumatically. Traumatic, okay? If you're going through something and you're alone in it, it's traumatic.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me say that if you perceive that you're alone.
Yeah.
Right. You understand that? So when people are absent during times of pain or maybe they're unable to share the impact, then it could be traumatic. So we require others to share our pain. It's just true. Now, I'm not talking about passing the sorrow. I'm talking about compassion and an ear to listen. So no shutting down or off, because it doesn't help you process pain. Okay? When you shut off, what do they call it? Is it called you ghost somebody? You shut them off and, you know, or we just said, cut their water off is what we used to say. It just gets cold. Y'all, why are y'all so quiet? Okay, so let me introduce something to you and you're going to go free. Here's what I want to introduce to you. Your mind and your brain can metabolize pain. You know what metabolize means? You know your body. Everybody knows about that. Metabolism. You get your food going. You get your energy going. And your body works through everything. And, okay, it functions right. Metabolizes the food. Okay. So, both can take you through a pain processing pathway to metabolize and heal and become pain free in your emotions we're talking about here, okay? So now in the early stages of pain processing, we mentally, you may not even be aware of this, but I'm telling you, you do this. You mentally ask yourself if we are able to perceive that anyone is glad to be in there with us during our times of suffering. Are you with me? Something in you is looking. Does anyone care? I'm hurting or I feel really sick. Does anyone care? You know, are you with me?
Yeah.
Get that? You know, so if you feel really bad at your home, is everybody like, yeah, hurry up and get well? Or do they go, are you okay? Yeah. Maybe they're not, you know, just going to get the cold rag for you and all that like Deb and Kim do. They'll really take care of you. But you know they're there. I'm with you.
Yeah.
So you're something inside you is looking for that. You're just built that way. You're looking for that. So if we perceive that we're alone, then listen now, the pain exceeds our mental capacity and we become traumatized. And then when we get stuck, we do something drastic. And we do something drastic because unsolved pain launches an automatic search for relief. And that's when you want to numb the pain. And addiction comes. I'm just going to have to take pain pills. I can't stand it. I'm just going to take pain pills all the time. Or I'm going to have to take a pill all the time. Or I'm going to have to do some toking and smoking because I can't cope with life. Or get me some drink because I need to relax. I need a drink. Right? And then those types of things lead to addiction, which brings on more trauma, right?
Yeah.
But listen, if you can process pain correctly, you'll end up in a place of wisdom. Wisdom will show up. Now, I don't have time to take that trail, but we'll take that trail one day, okay? Because I want to go ahead and step you through some things here. Actually, there's such a thing as suffering well. Now, when I say suffering well, I'm not talking about being called to suffer because Jesus is trying to teach you some lessons. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you're working your way through something. Okay? And so you know you're going to get through, so you can go, okay, I'm going to make it. We're going to get, this will expire. I'm going through. Amen. And so, but if you're in pain, you can get a calm if you know some things. Am I right? If you're in pain emotionally or whatever, if there's some things you know, you can stay calm.
Yeah.
See, the enemy's idea is to get you to freak out.
Yeah, you're right.
But if you know some things, you can be calm and you can make it. Now, it takes some maturity, but you can do it. And it's about this. Listen, it's about handling emotions. Young people, listen to me. Old people, listen to me too. But young people, if you can get a hold of emotions, if you can get a hold of emotions and use them as teaching tools in your life and use them in a good way to relate to God and people, you're going to get way ahead. You're going to be able to process through this stuff. But if you just get upset and react, it's going to set up a pattern. And there's lots of ways to react. You can pout, you can shut down, you can drop the call, put up your walls, you can fight, flight, or freeze. But if you know how to process through things, you can go, okay. And the way to do that is, number one, is don't shut down. You hear me, wives? You all right, honey?
Nothing.
What's wrong, honey? You're not talking.
Nothing.
Nope. You can say something. You can say, you know what? I'm working through something right now. I'll get right back to you. You can say, but
nothing.
You drop the call. Okay? Don't drop the call. You're like, Pastor, when are we going home? I've had enough. No. Okay. And the husbands are saying, come on, Pastor, come on. praise. See, here's the key. You have relational circuits. Relational circuits. And if you go to the alone and in pain place, you drop the call. You break the circuit. You cannot perceive God's interest in you, that he cares, or anyone else that you love's interest in you, if you drop the call. It helps you through the pain metabolizing process if you stay on the phone, so to speak, okay? And so, because then you'll know someone's on your side. And listen, you might feel at the moment like your husband or your wife is not on your side, or your friend, or even your pastor, or maybe God. But if you won't drop the call, it's going to get worked out.
True.
Don't drop the call.
That's good.
All right. So here are some questions you can ask yourself to see if your relational circuits are off. Were we able to get them? Okay. Here they come. They're going to come up here. Number one, I just want to make the problem, person, or feeling go away. That's one of them. Number two, I don't want to listen to what others have to say. Number three, my mind is locked onto something upsetting. That's a good one. Number four, I don't want to be connected to that person. Number five, I just want to get away, fight, or freeze. Number six, I more aggressively interrogate, judge, and fix others. Now, here's the question right here to top all those questions. Can I feel positive feelings about the person or God right now? Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, look, holding a positive feeling doesn't mean that we can state one positive thing about someone cognitively. Though they whistle good, you know, which that's a good start, but it's not just that you could just think of one good thing. Well, my wife does make a good brisket, right? That there's more to it than that. Are y'all okay? I promise we're going to live through this. We're going to live really good through this. Okay, so we need a genuine positive thought, a genuine positive thought. Get genuine about it. Get with God. What is the truth genuinely about God? I see you. I hear you. I care about you. I love you. That's the truth about God. He's with you. Yeah. Well, she don't love me. Well, now, wait a minute. She married to you, isn't she? Remember those sweet days. Think about it. Think about, and the Lord will show you. Yeah, you'll warm back up, or with a friend, or with whoever, or the boss, whoever. Something good can come you if you don't shut it all down. Amen. Amen. Who? How many of y'all have already shut me down? I'm calling back. I'll keep ringing and ringing and ringing. Okay. They're like, hurry and get past this. So to restore peace, you have to have your relational circuit on. Don't drop the call. Just leave it on. Okay? Now, here's the thing. We want a joy-filled life, right? So the control center on the right side of the brain is where you have a relational circuit. This is where, now listen to this, I'm going to connect the dots for you. This is where the joyful identity and the practice of joy is. It's in that part of your brain. Now, joy is connected to relationships, and it's connected to gratitude. Now you're saying, well, I don't know so much about the brain. We need to talk about the mind. Well, listen, the mind controls the brain if you'll let it. And the brain is like the vehicle your mind is riding in.
Yeah.
Just like I'm a spirit. I have a spiritual hand. This is my flesh hand, but there's a spiritual hand.
Yeah.
I'm not just a little Casper in here bumping around.
Yeah.
Right? We're parts of the body, right? Uh-huh. Okay. So your mind helps your brain, but your brain is that vehicle you're riding in. And so you have this control center, and it runs relational attachment in this place in here. And it runs personal reaction and relational synchronization. Identity. The multi-mind can restore the relational circuit by this word, attunement. Attunement. So listen to this. Remember Mary and Martha? Remember Lazarus dies? Do you remember it said that Jesus wept? Remember that? So Mary and Martha knew why he wept. Not because he was upset that Lazarus was gone and he didn't get there in time. He wept because he felt their pain. He felt their pain. He wasn't disappointed. I got here late. No, he knew what was going to happen. But they knew, they perceived, and they were attuned. She says, I know what you can do. Remember? I know what you can do. So they tuned in. There's an attunement. There's a synchronization that you can get into that will kick your circuits open. All right. I like this stuff.
Yeah.
Now, so, and mourning turned into joy, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, they could have been blabbing their mouths and gone completely the other way. You're too late, leave. Oh, no, 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 no. That wouldn't have been good. But somebody raised from the dead because they tuned in. Now, so attunement has a process, and a process has a sequence. Staying in tune with God shows us the process, and I've already mentioned it, and this will be my third time to mention it to you. I see you. I hear you. I care about you. I understand how hard this is for you. I'm glad to be with you. I can do something about what you're going through. That's the process. I hear you. I can see you. I know what you're going through. I know it looks hard right now, but I need you to remember, I'm the one that can do something about this.
Yes,
see, there's the process when you're thinking these things, when you're thinking the right things about God, that's why it's so good that you're not sitting under teaching telling you that God's trying to teach you something by hurting you. Because if you sit under that, you can't tune in. You can't tune in because you're just going, well, God's putting this on me to teach me a lesson. That's not tuning in. God's a good God. And so the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give life more abundant. And so God being a good God, he's always saying, I can do something about this. I can do something about this. If you'll attune. If you won't drop the call with me. How many people have dropped the call with God? Can I go ahead and say it? Because of a religious teaching. Oh, well, God's not going to show up because he's probably mad at me. Or God's not going to show up because we've been taught that, you know, he's teaching me a lesson with this hard stuff. You may learn something out of something hard. It's true. But it's not his tool. He didn't do it. Okay. All right. You know, I have to say that. It's important. So, praise the Lord. I see you. I care. I hear you. I understand how hard it is for you, and I'm glad to be with you, and I can do something about what you're going through. Listen, thank those thoughts. Thank this thought. God is glad to be with me. God is glad to be with me. And that actually releases joy. He's glad to be with me. Hey, if the biggest one in the universe is for you. Now, let's just see. I'll tell you more about synchronizing your mind and brain with God, but let's go here as we close. As you are living life with others, as you relate to them, as you journal, if you write in the books and about your what's going on, do a shalom check. Do a shalom check. Oh, we've all heard people who told stories that lowered our joy. Have we? It just lowered your joy. It failed to bless you. I can think of a time. Oh, y'all were little. You were little. You and Patty were little. And we were in a church and a missionary came. And I don't know, y'all might have still been in kids' church. But he spent a whole hour, y'all probably remember, telling us all the horrible things that went on. And the whole church was just like, oh. And we were just, you know, being God is good people and knowing that a testimony is a prophecy. It tells you, it's supposed to tell you how a good life can be. He waited till right to the end and then just begged for finances, I believe it was, something like that. I don't remember exactly. But he tagged something on the end. But how horrible it had been to be a missionary. Well, that's not how missionary life should be. I don't know who thought that up. You should be successful. Doesn't mean hard times won't come. I mean, we can look at Heidi Baker and see that it was rough. But man, what successes they've had, her and her husband. But when someone gives a testimony, and let's say it's 6 minutes long, and five of it is a joy reducer, and then the very end, what if you just did 1 minute of what happened and then come on up?
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, are you with me? So you do a shalom check. So if you're journaling, don't write 1,000 pages about how horrible something was and then said, but then God intervened. Amen. That's what time it is. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Stop all that whining. People don't want to hear it. Get in the no whine zone. Stop it. Why are you crying if you're in faith? What are you crying for if you're in faith? Now, if you feel bad and you're hurt, you can cry and have faith at the same time if you're doing it right. But you can tell the difference in someone's voice. If they're going, I win, you know it's a lot different than, Well, if I made you mad about that, I'm glad, because you need to think about that. When you're standing in faith, don't pull the joy out of the air. You know, there's times when we travail, but there's still joy in travailing. I know it hurts when you have a baby sometimes. Not yours, and you push through, but you can still have a good attitude while you're doing it and be okay. Amen. You can make it. You can be a victor instead of a victim. Could you just go ahead and be a victor? Can you be a victor? That wasn't part of my sermon, but I'm almost done, so I thought I'd throw the victor thing in there. All right, so you're going to do a shalom check. So shalom is the sense we get when everything is in the right relationship, at the right place, at the right time. You're going, I'm okay. I'm all right. Sometimes you feel like that when you're going through something and someone shows up on the scene that you know loves you. Uh-huh. And I'm going to tell you something. God shows up every time. He shows up every time. And some of your best friends in this room will show up. Amen. Amen. So don't drop the call. Don't drop the call. And stay in shalom. Do a shalom check. How much are you measuring things out? Is it all bad and then finally one little good thing? But God did good. How about starting out with, glory to God, we got the victory over this. Da 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 da, but God came along and gave us the victory. Church, if you're a compassionate person, you have to watch out that you don't turn compassion into some kind of sorrow. You have to watch out that you're not whining about them. Praise the Lord. All right. I just heard someone in their thoughts say, she's just mean. Call me back. I'm not mean. I'm just trying to help you. You have to strengthen your, you have to take your strength. Take your strength. Take it. Take your strength. You're going to have to take it. God wants to give it to you. Just say something. You know, praise the Lord. And the tire went flat. Praise the Lord. Well, the truck broke. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He'll fix it, because right now he's saying, I'm with you and I can do something about this. Amen. I'm with you and I can do something about this. Y'all pray for me, because everything's a mess. God is with you. He can do something about this. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing. He can do something about everything that needs to be fixed. Now, so when you're writing your journal, let shalom be your referee. In fact, when you're talking, when you're testifying, when you're having lunch with people, let shalom be your referee. Yes. Is it bringing peace to the listeners?
Well, that's good.
Or do they feel like they're in the right place with the right person, or are they looking at their watch going, I'll be glad when I can get away from them. This is a real joy killer, you know. I mean, what do they think about you? You're just always... Church, you have to grow up and be an influence.
Yes.
You do. And this is the time to do it. You have to go ahead and grow up, keep the line open, do a shalom check, and be an influence. You have to lead the pack, if you will. You can't just stay a baby. Because there's a whole lot of babies on their way. This is the great awakening. And you got to be ready. You know, in the old days, back before y'all were born... The mama stayed home, and she might have been the only one that knew how to change the diaper. But in these days, there's so much going on, everybody in the house has to know how to change the diaper. Yep. Now, y'all get what I'm telling you? You're going to have to work with the babies, right? And a lot of times their diapers are full of it, you know. But we can train and teach and potty train and move forward and bless. And then they'll start walking and then they'll start talking. And then they'll grow up and then they'll become mature. And then you can teach them how to handle their emotions. And they don't have to live from like they're in high school when they're 60. And you know, most people that live like high school when they're 60 means they dropped the call. And they didn't do any shalom checks. And they didn't let any joy flow. They didn't have interaction. They turned those circuits off. Man, did we do that in high school. I'm not talking to Ann or Karen or Linda today. Because I wanted to go out with David, and I know they went out with David. Actually, I dropped David. I went with Buddy. Okay. Now, but come on, you did that. But we need to put that behind us. People aren't your enemy. All right, so I'm finishing. Our spirits are made for truth. Our spirits are made for truth, but our minds and our brains seek shalom. They need some peace. Your spirit, your heart is like, dun da da da, I'm the master of this. But sometimes your brain and your mind just goes, Lord, help me. It's the truth. Well, we can help each other with that.
Yes.
How about just right now for 5 seconds, think of the person in your life that you feel so good when you're around them and you just go, oh. And I have several. But I'm like, everything will be okay because Pastor John is here. Pastor John. Anyway, everything's okay. If I don't feel good, I'm glad Deb Field's my friend.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. She'll pray me up, pray me out. And bring me a cold rag. I'm telling you that, Danny Schaefer. If I feel bad, she's like a chicken on a juke bug. Shama, 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 shama. Get off of her. I'm glad to have friends like that. Tear the roof off. That's right. Get her well. Get her going. Amen. I'm closing. Almost everything I've heard about the new year is about strength. Evidently, we're going to need some strength. And we're going to need some strength because of those babies and their diapers. But you need some strength to reach your goals. You're going to need to reach your vision and your destiny. And you know, a goal is actually a vision with a time lock on it. I'm going to do this by this time. That's a good thing to do. But you need to have something ahead of that. Like, let's just say I'm going to have my car by Christmas, whatever. But so you've got it marked. And I can tell you right now, God will fulfill those kind of things. But on the way, whatever you're driving, you just have to thank the Lord for that right now and be happy about it. Amen. Amen. Keep it clean. When you go around the corner, all the Coke bottles don't roll over. Amen. Praise the Lord. You keep going. I'm not, you know, I need better, but praise the Lord, we've got it. I heard this man, I was just flipping through Facebook, and I heard this lady say, I hate America. I just hate America. Look how bad things are. And this man says, those are some nice shoes you have on. Yeah. Look at your clothes. Yeah. Did you eat today? Yeah. Are you free standing out here? Yeah. And you hate America? See, we get into these little victim things. I hate this. I hate how this works. Well, won't you start thinking about something good? Yeah. Get into some shalom. Yes. Get into what is good. Sometimes when you feel bad, you just have to go, this finger works. Praise the Lord. Right? Yeah, I mean, I've actually done that before. I'm going, thank you, Lord, this finger works. But then they all start working and everything starts moving and you go. Gratefulness. Living in joy. Don't drop the call. Stay in shalom. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Jesus. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoicing and living a joy-fueled life will keep us strong. Amen. A grateful prayer journal. This happened and that happened. Amen. I notice the little things about relationships. Just the little things that happen. Like how my old friends came to see us last week. Or like the relationships we have with the Kerrville people. It's precious. It's so precious that we have those relationships with these people. Yeah. It's so precious that all the Holler children, we trade Christmas every year, not gifts. We say something to each other. And there's always that word of friend or dear friend in there. I don't take that for granted. I'm grateful for that. I'm so grateful. I'm thankful for the relationships. You gotta look at the little things sometimes. I was recently up at KCM and I was sitting across the table from Kelly. And we were just chatting and we were kind of laughing with each other and talk about her coming down here. And all of a sudden she just reaches both hands across to me and holds my hand. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, for this friend. Thank you for Kim and Kelly and for Riley. And thank you for those people. Thank you for them. Thank you for our teachers that have taught us right. Amen. And then thank you for everybody who makes it work here. Are you grateful you came in here to a clean church? You came in here where everything works. You came in here because John bothered to turn the air down. Yeah. Amen. All these things happen because of the people in here. I'm grateful for them. We have to do this together. You can't do it alone. I'm grateful for all the different things that Art and Loopy run. So many things. They're the restoration. They're the greeters. They're the ushers, which is a lot. Amen. I'm grateful for all those things. Are you grateful? Are you grateful for the friends you have here? Amen. Let's stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Show gratitude to each other all the time about every little thing. Think about it. Be aware of your circuit, your relational circuit. Yes. Amen. Keep it on. Now listen, I'll say this to you, so stay tuned. We're at 1 minute. When pain happens, your mind and brain can metabolize the pain if given the right thoughts. And the right thought is this: I'm here, I'm with you, I care, and I can help you with this.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. I'll help you with that. He wants to. That's Hesed. That's Hesed. Let me in. I'll do it. You don't have to do that by yourself. I can do it. Thank you, Lord. If something is too scary or too painful and you're left to deal with it alone, you can disconnect, you could disassociate, and then the pain will not metabolize. It gets stuck in a different place in your brain. And listen, it remains a traumatic memory. Come on, did you get that? If you don't let this metabolize, you're going to bring it up every time you have lunch with me. You got to work it through. You gotta get God and friends help you work it through. And you better have some good friends if you're gonna do that. Not someone who's just gonna tear you up and go, wait, my problem's worse. But you're in good company right here. No shutting down, no dropping the call. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the path to take. We thank you, Lord, that we've answered your call and we'll stay on the phone. I thank you, Lord, that we'll answer each other's call. I thank you, Lord, that we will have interactive working circuits with one another. I thank you, Lord, that when we're in pain, we can see one who's in pain and we help them with it. And they don't stay in pain, emotional pain, or any kind of pain. Because emotional pain is what creates physical pain. And so, Father, I thank you for moving on our people as they're dressed for this season, for this glory that is coming on the church. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we can do this together. We can practice relationship. We can practice love. We can practice right words. And we can pick right up and know that you hear, you see us, you hear us, you love us. You are here with us. You understand what we're going through. And you can do something about it. We thank you for it. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Pray for us tonight.